1 Corinthians chapter 12, first 11 verses. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one in the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let's pray. Father, once again, we ask you to guide our study of your word, to give us understanding and give us wisdom to know what we need to do, having heard the word of God. Father, we want to be a church in tune with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, guided by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. And Father, a church where people see Jesus Christ being lived out in the life of each person because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we continue this series, looking at that Spirit, we'd ask, Father, that he might empower us to proclaim your word as well as to receive it for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. A man named Isaac Watts is considered the father of English hymnody, or the father of English hymns. He lived 300 years ago, and he wrote hymns on just about every topic in the English Bible. Most of them we have never sung. He wrote this hymn on the Holy Spirit. Come, sacred Spirit, from above, and fill the coldest heart with love. Soften to flesh the flinty stone, and let thy godlike power be known. Last line, a great line. And let thy godlike power be known. See, it's not only a hymn, it's a prayer. Certainly more than anything else in my life, and Lord willing, more than anything else in your life, we would covet to know the power of the Holy Spirit. We're in a series of sermons on the Holy Spirit. I would remind you again this Lord's Day that the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not a power. It's not an energy. He is a person. The Holy Spirit is God, the third member of the Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is instrumental in your salvation and in your growth as a Christian. This morning we want to look at the gifts of God the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now this is a very confusing and divisive subject. Often where you go to church determines how you define or appreciate the gifts of the Spirit. As I looked this week into some of the oldest systematic theologies that I have, they barely mention it. And yet Paul gives us three chapters in the middle of one of his books, 1 Corinthians, on the whole subject of spiritual gifts. Now I'm going to set some parameters here, or else I'm going to be preaching to 5 o'clock this evening. This is a series on the Holy Spirit. And the idea of the series is to introduce you to the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit does. So we're going to be focusing on the person of the Holy Spirit as it relates to spiritual gifts. If you're looking for in-depth definitions of every gift and how you can figure it all out and all of that, this is not the sermon for that. This is a sermon talking again about the Holy Spirit and this thing called gifts. I want to tackle it by just asking a series of questions. The first question is this: what is a spiritual gift? What is a spiritual gift? If you're visiting with us this morning, or this is your first time in church in a long time, or perhaps you're a brand new believer, you might be asking yourself exactly the question that's on the screen. What in the world is a spiritual gift? You know what a gift is. A gift is when someone gives something to you, hopefully freely, sometimes, often, unexpectedly. A gift, by its definition, isn't earned. It's not owed. It's not required. So when we use the term spiritual gift, literally the word here is a grace gift or a free gift. In fact, that's how it's used in Romans 6:23, a verse many of you have memorized. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift, same word that we find in 1 Corinthians 12, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus, Christ Jesus our Lord. A spiritual gift, then, is a free gift in the spiritual realm. It's a free gift regarding spiritual things. There's a second word that is used in this paragraph as well, which means a free gift having to do with the Spirit. A free gift having to do with the Spirit. That's what a spiritual gift is. Let me give you some definitions that will either help you or confuse you a little bit more. It's what definitions do. Charles Hodge defined spiritual gifts this way: extraordinary manifestations of divine power. Extraordinary manifestations of divine power. And he certainly would add, in the believer. Frederick Godet defined it this way: creative powers which God communicates to believers when their new activity expands under the influence of the life of Christ. Poetic way of saying when you came to Christ. Douglas Moo, a professor at Wheaton, defines it: differing capacities God gives to people for their service of the community. Wayne Grudem defines it as any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. Now those definitions, they may have confused you a little bit more, but hopefully not. There's one emphasis, though, that you should have seen in all four of those definitions. A spiritual gift is something that we get from God. Spiritual gift is something that we get through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I fear, in that regard, that we sometimes immediately get off base when it comes to spiritual gifts. Not only do we get off base with gifts, we also get off base when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit that Pastor Andy talked about last Sunday. I think there's a tendency when we talk about gifts, when we talk about fruit, to think of it as something that I have, something that I possess, something that I have at my disposal to use whenever I want, something that has been deposited in me. And that's way off base. It's way off base. The fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, are always things that are received at the moment in the individual from the Holy Spirit working in that moment in you. It's true of the fruit of the Spirit. When you were saved, you yourself were not suddenly more loving and more joyous and more at peace. You yourself were not any of those things. No, but you were indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and when there appeared in your life Christ-like love, Christ-like joy, Christ-like peace, it was the Holy Spirit producing those things in and through you. He doesn't deposit a little packet of love. And every time you need to be loving, you go to that packet and you draw some love out. No. Whenever there is fruit, it is evidence that the Holy Spirit is now producing that fruit at that moment through you. It's always through God the Spirit. Same is true with gifts. Anytime there is a spiritual gift that is used, it is only when the power of the Holy Spirit is working through you and enabling you to use that gift. I think sometimes we look at spiritual gifts a little bit like a wallet in your back pocket. You know, I've got a suit on, but tucked away in the back pocket of my suit, I have this wallet that only comes out when Judy needs some more money. And sometimes, you can't deny that. Sometimes we look at spiritual gifts the same way. God gives us a gift and it's tucked away in a back pocket, and whenever we're doing something we like to do, we kind of reach back and we pull out some more of that gift and we use it. That's wrong. Every spiritual gift is a divine empowerment. Every time you use it is the Holy Spirit actively enabling that gift, enabling you to use it. Notice verse 7 says it very clearly. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Every gift is evidence, manifest that the Spirit is now at work in the person who is using it. Now, how many different gifts are there? The answer to that question, I don't know. We have 4 different lists in the Bible, and all of them are different. I want you to look at them. Hopefully you can see them up on the screen. There's 4 passages in the New Testament that deal with spiritual gifts. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31, and Ephesians chapter 4. And I lined them up so that you would see how many of them are similar. And the first thing you should see as you look at that, even if your eyes aren't good enough to read it, is that there's not a whole lot that's lining up there. In fact, there's only one gift that's found on all 4 lists. And it's the gift that Paul said, this is the gift that I want to see the most in the church. The gift of prophecy, of being a prophet. You'll notice then in Romans chapter 12, there's only one gift on that whole list that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And when we come to 1 Corinthians in the 2 lists, even the 2 lists do not agree. And there's only one gift in 1 Corinthians that's in Romans. And when we come to Ephesians chapter 4, there's 2 gifts that are not even on in the church to Rome or the church to Corinth. Here's the neat thing. All 4 of those letters written by the same guy. All 4 of those letters written by the Apostle Paul. Spiritual gifts are only limited to the creativity of the Holy Spirit, which means they're pretty unlimited, and the need of the local church. These lists are not exhaustive. They're only illustrative. Are there gifts in the church that aren't on this list? Yes. Some gifts enhance natural abilities. Some don't. Some just are given as the Holy Spirit knows we have need. John MacArthur has this neat quote. Each believer becomes as unique spiritually as his fingerprints are physically. That's pretty good. Each believer becomes as unique spiritually as his fingerprints are physically. You see, you could have the same gift, 10 different people, and it would look different in all 10. That's the creativity of the Holy Spirit working in each individual's life with these gifts. The second question, how is the Holy Spirit involved in spiritual gifts? Now this gets us back to our series. How is the Holy Spirit involved in spiritual gifts? Look at verse 11. All these, and he's just listed all the gifts, a list of gifts. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. So how is the Holy Spirit involved in this thing called spiritual gifts? In every way imaginable. In every way. In fact, without the Holy Spirit, there is no gifts. An unbeliever does not have a spiritual gift because the Holy Spirit does not indwell him or her. Now, you may have noticed that we hit the word Spirit an awful lot when we read that passage of Scripture. In 11 verses, the Holy Spirit is mentioned 9 times and hinted at 5 more times. When you're talking about spiritual gifts, you have to be talking about the Holy Spirit. We know that you may have noticed as well in verse 11, there are 3 verbs there that describe the work of the Holy Spirit as it pertains to spiritual gifts. The first verb, empowers. Empowers. The Holy Spirit is the power behind every spiritual gift. He not only manifests it, he not only gives it, but he gives it the power to be effective in you. There'd be no such thing as a spiritual gift, a unique empowerment in the believer, if the believer wasn't indwelt by the Spirit who empowers that gift. That same word empower is found in James 5:16, a verse many of you have memorized. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in it as it is working. So the Holy Spirit's not only the source of the gift, but the power of it. That's why Charles Hodge, in those definitions that I gave to you, defined it as extraordinary manifestations of divine power. It's the Spirit of God who empowers. Secondly, he apportions. He apportions, verse 11. The word apportions means he distributes or he divides. Who decides which spiritual gift you will have? Holy Spirit of God does. The Holy Spirit of God does. The fact that you have the gift you do is owed to the work of the Holy Spirit. It's due to the fact that the Holy Spirit distributed, divided, apportioned that gift to you. Now you might ask, well, when does that happen? Well, at all different times. Some folks may receive their spiritual gift, or the Holy Spirit may be making it evident the moment they're saved. But that's not true of all spiritual gifts. Some spiritual gifts need preparation before it can be used properly. So the Spirit isn't limited here. The third verb is wills. Wills. It says, to each one individually as he wills. The word will means desire or wishes. Now understand this clearly. The Holy Spirit is completely sovereign in the distribution of gifts. He doesn't ask you for input. He doesn't ask a pastor for input. What gift would you like to see in this person? Well, I don't know. I think this one would be good. No, Holy Spirit doesn't ask me, doesn't ask you. Although the Holy Spirit is at the center of this distribution, and he is, what's really interesting is the whole Trinity is also involved in it. Not just the Spirit. Spirit's the main one, but God the Father, God the Son often have an interest in. Note these verses, all found in the gift passages. Romans 12:6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. 1 Corinthians 12:28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and so on. Ephesians 4:7, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. The bottom line is the whole Trinity has an interest in your development as a believer, has something to say about the gift, but it is the Holy Spirit who is given the role to empower you, to distribute to you as the whole Godhead desires. I didn't pick the one that I want. You didn't pick the one that you want. When it comes to spiritual gifts, it's all of God. Completely of God. Another question. Why are there spiritual gifts? Why are there spiritual gifts? We know what they are to some degree. We know how the Spirit is involved. Why does he give us spiritual gifts? Peter gives us the best answer. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We read just a moment ago from 1 Corinthians 12:28. God has appointed in the church, further on in this section on spiritual gifts in chapter 14, Paul repeatedly talks about the church being built up, the church being edified by an individual's spiritual gift. Peter's very clear, is he not? Use the gift to serve one another. Now, having said that, let me also chase a couple rabbits for a moment that are related to the subject of spiritual gifts. The fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. Let me say that again. The fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that the gifts aren't important. The gifts are very important. But the fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. It's more important that people see in you Christ-like character. You see, if indeed the gifts of the Spirit are primarily for the church, and they are, the main purpose of the fruit of the Spirit is that the world might see Jesus Christ in you as they see that Christ-like fruit and be attracted to him through you. Who you are being is more important than what you are doing. So the fruit of the Spirit is more important than the gifts of the Spirit. Secondly, exhibiting the pure love of Christ is more important than your spiritual gift. Exhibiting the pure love of Christ is more important than your spiritual gift. You see, in our Bibles, the Bible that you hold in your hand, there's three chapters. They're pretty good-sized chapters. Three chapters in 1 Corinthians on gifts. But right smack in the middle of those three chapters is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We call that the love chapter. And generally, we yank it out of the middle of that section, and we use it at weddings, and that's fine. And we fail to realize that Paul didn't just lose his mind for a few verses and say, oh, I think I'll just write a chapter on love now. I'm getting a little bored with this gift thing, so I did a love thing. Oh, I better go back to gifts. No. He put that chapter in the middle of this essay on gifts for a reason. You need to remember, when Paul wrote this, there were no chapters, there were no verses. It was just one long essay. And so he writes, if I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I am not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, what he's saying in those three verses, he says, if I have the most spectacular spiritual gifts that you can imagine, and I don't have Christ-like love, I'm zero. I'm nothing. I'm just making a lot of noise. I would remind you that Jesus didn't say, by your gifts will all men know that you are my disciples. It's not what he said. He said, by this love, people will know that you are my disciples. So, if you're here and you're struggling to figure out your gift, but you have a great ability to love others as Christ loves you, don't worry about it. You're doing just fine. You're doing just fine. Christ-like love, our love for one another, is more important. So once again, why are there spiritual gifts? They're for the church. They're for the building up of the church. They're for the building up of other believers. Now, you may get some joy. You may get some fulfillment from using them, but that's not their primary purpose. The purpose is so that you may serve others. Let me also say this. The primary place for you to use your gift is in your local church. The primary place for you to use your gift is in your local church. There are some people that God may call to minister to a wider audience, but for 99% of us, our ministry is going to be in our own local church. And all of this is done by the Holy Spirit. He knows, the Holy Spirit knows right now what gifts are needed at Emmanuel Baptist Church in 2015. He knows that. And he also knows that what we need in 2015 may be different than what we needed in 2005 and what we needed back in 1995. You see, IBC is Christ's church. Emmanuel Baptist Church belongs to Jesus Christ. It's not Pastor Dave's, not Pastor Andy's. It doesn't belong to the elders or the deacons. This church is Jesus Christ's church. And because Jesus knows what we need, and the Spirit knows what we need, the Spirit will distribute at Emmanuel Baptist Church the gifts that he needs, that we need. He knows we need at the moment to accomplish what Christ wants us to accomplish. God wants you to use your gift here to build up other believers in the pursuit of the kingdom of God. Fourthly, other questions about gifts. I'm not going to answer all of these in depth. I'll say again, we'd be here a long time. I'll answer some of them, probably not satisfactorily. Let me challenge you. Instead of saying, I wish Pastor Dave would answer that question, study it yourself. Study it yourself. Dig into the Word. Find out what the Word has to say. I'll say, Pastor Dave, I don't have the resources. Well, you're in luck. As a church, we have the resources. We have a great library down the hall. We've got a library full of commentaries and theologies and all kinds of books. Come here 9 to 3, Monday through Friday. When the secretary is here, she'll let you into the library. Study to your heart's content. But sometimes, actually, almost every week, I ought to leave you with a question. And you ought to say, man, why didn't he answer that? Well, study it on your own. Study it on your own. Pray about it, study it. So, with these questions, these aren't answers I'm going to die for. So when we get to heaven, you find out I was wrong. Don't rub it in my face. But here we go. Can you have more than one gift? Can you have more than one gift? And the answer to that is maybe. Maybe. Here's why I say that. It certainly appears in the book of Acts that the disciples had more than one gift. As you study what they did in their ministry, it appears that they had several gifts. Now, most Bible teachers would say that you probably have a primary one that God desires to use in you, but I certainly would not want to limit the Holy Spirit and say, well, he only gives one to every person. Well, we can look at the Bible and tell that that's not true. Another question, can my gift change? Can my gift change? I think so. Or maybe I should say, maybe. But if you recognize if you recognize that the Holy Spirit of God is sovereign when it comes to spiritual gifts, that it's all up to him. He's the one who gives it. He's the one who empowers it. He's the one who determines what is most needed at each place. It may necessitate the changing of your gift. In other words, if you were to move from Kenosha to Oklahoma City and you join a church there, the church there may not need the same gift there from you that Emmanuel Baptist Church needs today from you. And I certainly would not want to say that the Spirit wouldn't put you there and say, listen, I want to use you, but I'm going to use you in a different way there. Certainly, when we looked at those four lists, Paul said, you know, let me talk about your gifts in Rome, and it was a different list than what was in Corinth, which was a different list than what was in Ephesus. So to give you a real wishy-washy answer, I think that your gift may change from time to time. Another question, are the use of gifts continuous, or are they sporadic according to a need? In other words, do you continually all the time use a gift, or are there some gifts that you may use here and then there? I think both of those are true. Some gifts may be used daily or weekly as the need in the church is addressed, but other gifts may only be used occasionally due to the unique nature of the gift. A man named Gordon Fee, in his commentary on 1 Corinthians, talks about the gifts of healing. The phrase there is plural, the gifts of healing. And his take on that is that the gift of healing is not a permanent gift, but a gift that occurs as only as needed as the Spirit moves someone. Something to think about, something to give you to study. A fourth question, can I lose or stifle a gift? Can I lose or stifle a gift? The answer is yes, you can. Now understand, when I say lose, I'm saying that the Holy Spirit no longer is granting and empowering that gift through you. That's what I mean. You can't lose it. But will the Holy Spirit stop granting it and empowering that gift through you? Absolutely. Why does that happen? Well, the Bible's very clear. You and I, due to a variety of circumstances, can grieve the Spirit of God. We can quench the Spirit of God. We can resist the Spirit of God. We do those things because of sin, because of pride, because of selfishness, because of prayerlessness. We can blunt the work of the Spirit and even stop the Spirit's intended work in us through those things. And when that happens, the Spirit, instead of working through us, has to work on us, has to work in us. And we don't like that particular work. The Spirit's work in us when there's sin, when there's pride, when there's selfishness, is a chastising work, a disciplining work, a work of making us miserable until we repent of our sin and get right with the Lord. And listen, when you're fighting God, when you're resisting the Spirit, when you're grieving the Spirit, during those times, there's not going to be any fruit in your life. There's not going to be the use of a gift in your life. There's not going to be the love of Christ in your life, because the Spirit is working on you, not through you. Question number five, are all the gifts for today? Are all the gifts for today? Now there's a question that's divided the church for the last 100 years. And I'm not going to answer it to anybody's satisfaction, because it all depends on how you define the gifts, every one of them. And I'll use one illustration and one illustration only. Take the gift of apostle. The gift of apostle. Whether or not you believe that is for today or not, all depends on how you define it. If you say an apostle is a missionary or one who is sent, certainly the verb from the word apostle allows that. The word apostle means to be sent. But if you define the gift of apostle as those who were witnesses of Christ's earthly life, period, then you're going to come to another conclusion. With the first definition, you'd say, yes, it's for today. With the second definition, you'd say, no, it was a one-time gift and it's gone. And we could go through all of the gifts, and quite a few of them, at least a half a dozen of them, the same thing would happen. So, what should you do? Study them for yourself. Study it for yourself. So what do we do with all of this? What do we do with all of this? We've tried to define it. We saw how the Holy Spirit is involved in it. We found out why we have them. We talked a few other things. What do we do with it all? How do we wrap it up in a ball and take it with us today? Well, the first thing you need to do is examine your heart before God. The first thing you need to do is ask yourself this question: is Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of my life? Because until you can answer that question well, there's no sense in having discussion about spiritual gifts. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Has He forgiven you of all your sins? Have you received the free gift of eternal life? Are you aware of the presence of God in you, God the Holy Spirit? Do you have a thirst for the Word of God? Do you have a desire for time with God? Do you delight to be in the church with other believers? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? That's the first thing you have to do when it comes to gifts. You have to answer that question right before we can even have a discussion. But secondly, if you can testify, if you're here this morning and you can testify that you're a believer, how are you serving in the local church? How are you serving in the local church? How are you interacting with other believers? You know, the best way for you to discover what your gift is, listen carefully, the best way for you to discover what your gift is to jump in and begin to serve. If you're serving in an area where the Holy Spirit has not gifted you, you're going to be miserable. You know, if you say, I think my gift is serving in the nursery, and you go in the nursery, and the first day you run out screaming, maybe the nursery is not for you. But if you have this gift, if God has empowered you to love and teach little tiny kids, and you go in there and you say, man, this was great, I can't wait till next Sunday comes. Maybe that's where God wants you to be. The best way to figure out what your gift is to serve and to talk to others, because other people will be able to figure out what your gift is sometimes before you do. They'll see it in you. Now, I know that there are out there all kinds of tests that you can take. Just like there's a lot of definitions of gifts, there's all kinds of tests. You could take 5 tests and get 5 different answers. I don't recommend that you take a test and put all the stock in that test. Instead, get busy serving in the church. Figure out where God blesses your life. Most of all, begin every day submitting to God's Holy Spirit. Submitting your life to Him. Not my will, but thine be done. Listen carefully. The Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. The Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. He'll sort out all your questions, and He'll use you for the sake of the kingdom, and He'll delight to do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, and Father, we tried to cover a big subject in one Sunday, and it's hard to do. But I pray that if nothing else, we've whet the appetite of Your people to say, I want to study this more. I want to know more. I want to know what the Bible says. I want to know what others have taught. I want to figure this out. And I want to figure out what my gift is, and I'm going to take the challenge to get involved in serving. I'm going to figure where in the church I find the greatest joy and fulfillment, where people might see Jesus working through me. So, Father, I pray that You take this sermon today, You take our teaching, and You'd help us each to apply it for Your glory, for the sake of Emmanuel Baptist Church and the mission that You've given us in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.